I have good news for you today. Who could use a little good news? No, really. Who could use a little good news? Have you been watching the other kind too much? Don't lie to your pastor. Have you been watching it 24/7 on a loop, hearing the same thing over and over? Have you ever noticed how angry those people are? I mean, those people on the other side. How angry and hostile they are. It's always amazing to me how we can tolerate the anger on our side, whichever team you're voting for. By the way, which team are you voting for? Beavers or Ducks? Well, what did you think I was talking about? There's an election coming up. Everybody's going to try to get you worked up. But then we come back to Jesus. And I just love being in a place where we all belong to the party of Jesus. That we all vote the same color in this room because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, no matter what. Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Is he the King of your life? Is he the one that leads you and guides you in everything? No, I got to find my clicker. Well, I wish he would lead me and guide me to where my clicker is because... Isn't that something? Just as I prayed for it, it fell out onto my feet. Lord, may this be a sign of good things to come. If you've got a Bible, would you turn in it to the book of Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1. And I want to continue on the series entitled The Acts of the Holy Spirit. By the way, who appreciated Molly preaching last week? Am I right? Pastor Molly has a great heart, and I just love it. I just sat back there saying, man, I wish she would preach every other week. Trust me, if she would, I'd get her to. I'd beg her to come and to preach. And finally, a few months back, I said, just give me some dates on the calendar. We're going to put it on the calendar. But I just love it. And she talked about being led of the Spirit and how often the Spirit leads us and prepares our hearts. Just like he did with Peter and just like he did with Cornelius. He spoke to their hearts beforehand. Has the Lord ever prepared your heart for something? And then when it came to pass, you're like, oh, that's what you were preparing my heart for. It's amazing. Friends, you do not have to be old like your parents or your grandparents. Kids, Jesus can speak to your heart. He can prepare your heart even at a young age. And so always we need to be listening to him. How many know that if we have a life that's so busy, and friends, if we're not careful, we spend 100% of our time either listening to the TV or the radio or on our phone? Let me ask you something. Has the Holy Spirit ever texted you anything? Has he ever messaged you something? He doesn't. Me, if I have my face like this all the time, I'm not going to hear him because he doesn't speak in the thunder. He doesn't come in the whirlwind. He speaks with a what? A still, small voice. And if I'm just chugging right along, I'll run right over him, not even know it. And so I need to have a voice to hear. I want to share with you one of my favorite stories, and I think this story out of the book of Acts, it's from Acts 16, is one of the ones when I thought of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I said, oh, eventually I want to get to this story, because not only does this story illustrate to us how the Holy Spirit can guide us into the places that we should go, but how he also can warn us about the places we shouldn't go. And so he's not only a God that opens doors, but he's also a God that closes them. And if we allow him to, he can lead us and guide us. And so the story happens in Acts chapter 16. It's on Paul's third missionary journey, and he was traveling up through the continent of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And he got up to this certain area. Now, you remember Luke, who gives us the Gospel of Luke, one of the four Gospels. The sequel to the Gospel of Luke is the book of Acts. And so Luke continues on the story where the other Gospels leave off with the early church and the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys. And so Luke in Acts 16, as he's narrating Paul's journey, he says this: Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So in this series, I don't want to just focus on who the Holy Spirit is or what the Holy Spirit is, but what the Holy Spirit does. And so I've been just kind of focusing a lot on the verbs of the Holy Spirit, the things he does. And this is a very curious verb, and there's another one coming up, by the way, but this is a very curious phrase. And Luke doesn't really explain it. So we don't know what the mechanics of it were. All we just know is, listen, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, my mind just wanders, and I have a million questions now. Didn't Jesus send us out to preach the good word? Didn't he send us out to preach the gospel? But he says in this instant, the Holy Spirit, even though they had a mandate to preach the gospel to the whole world, including Asia, which is, by the way, it's the this Asia is the western part of Turkey today. But having been kept from there, from preaching the gospel by the Holy Spirit, I have more questions. Do you? By the way, how did he keep them? By what method? Did he speak to them? Was there a big giant angel in the road? Was there a wall of fire in front of them? Was it just an impression in their heart? We don't even know. In fact, as far as I can tell, Luke wasn't with them yet, so he wasn't there when they were kept. But the word literally means prevented. The Holy Spirit was like a wall, and he says, nope, this isn't the place that you're supposed to preach. And so they went on. I just want to learn from this, by the way, because it happened so naturally in the Apostle Paul's life that Luke didn't even think it was necessary to explain to us how. I wonder if you've ever had an experience where the Holy Spirit kept you from something. Said, don't go there. Don't say that. Don't be at that place. Man, I think even more important than the times that he's told me to go someplace and to say something is the time that he's told me to keep my mouth shut. Has that ever happened to you? If not, maybe you haven't been listening. The second thing is, he says, and he continues on the story, and when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. So listen here once again. And by the way, a couple things to notice. For times that people try to get so granular and so uptight and specific about what phrases to use about the different parts of the Trinity. Did you notice in the first verse it calls him the Holy Spirit, and in this verse it calls him the Spirit of Jesus? Don't get it wrong. These are not two different spirits he's talking about. He's talking about the Spirit of God, which can be referred to in a lot of different ways. The Spirit of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. It's not different. It's how Jesus moves in our life through his Holy Spirit. And listen what he said. It said that the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. How many have even more questions? What does that mean? I looked it up in the Greek. There's no real help. It means, the first one means to prevent, and now this means he didn't give them permission, or he didn't permit them to. It's the same thing. How did he not allow them to? What did he say to them? What was the vision? What was the feeling in their gut? How did they know? Did they talk about it? Did the Holy Spirit just tell the Apostle Paul, or did he tell all of them? Did they all look at each other and he said, you know, I don't think we're supposed to go there. I think the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. You sense that too? Yeah, Paul, I have a check in my spirit too. And I said, all right, let's keep going. I don't know how it happened, but all I know is I want that. Anybody want that? I want that kind of connection with the Holy Spirit where if he tells me don't go there, I know, okay, I'm not going there. Where I can just be obedient on a regular basis. Oh, man, I don't know if he's going to lead me and guide me on every last single little thing in my life, like what brand of toothpaste to buy, but on the big things, I want him to lead me and guide me. And by the way, I'm convinced that one of the things that was required in both of these sentences is that those people had a heart to listen, and they were being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And so they skipped down by Mysia, and they went down to Troas. And then it says, and the third time, and then during the night, Paul had a vision. So this is this third revelation in this story, in his many verses. And he had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over here to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen this vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Did anybody notice an Easter egg that just happened? I noticed this first when I was in college. I hadn't been to Bible school yet, and I was so proud to go tell my college youth pastor, I just noticed something in the book of Acts. Anybody notice what it was? There was a shift. All of a sudden, Luke starts saying them, and now he starts saying us. and we. And so for most of us, wise scholars and young college kids like I was at the time, we have surmised that it was in Troas that Luke became part of the party. It was in Troas that he joined the team and became a part of this mission field and then was discipled and then went on to write the Gospel of Luke and went on to write the book of Acts. And none of that would happen if Paul and his team had not been guided by the Holy Spirit. Not only guided in the places to go, but the places to not go. Because the logical place would be for them to go up around the land route. I have to show you a map. Didn't Molly have a beautiful map last week? Guess where she got it? You know where she got it. She got it from her Bible nerd husband that likes to draw maps for no good reason. It's not for no good reason. Every once in a while, I'll be preaching on something. I say, let's pull up the map of Paul. And so here he was. He traveled up. He came from Tarsus, which is down in the lower right-hand corner. And they went up. It says he went up through Galatia and Phrygia. So he probably would have passed through Ankara, which is modern-day Ankara, Turkey. And then he went through here and he came up by Mysia and he wanted to go up into Bithynia because the logical way to go is up through here, through the land route. This is one of the most famous land route. This road right here is called the Via Appius, one of the biggest, most famous roads of the Roman roads, because this is the transition where you go from the continent of Asia to the continents of Europe. And so modern day, this is, it used to be also Iconium, and now modern day it's called Istanbul. But they wouldn't wanted to go up through Bithynia, except for the fact that the Spirit of Jesus said, don't go that way. Don't go that way. And I don't know why he doesn't explain it to us, but one of my many guesses is that he told them not to go that way because he knew that there was a young man named Luke who was down here in Troas, and he needed to hook up with them, and they needed to hook up with him. And so because they were led, now we have the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts and who knows what else. But Luke became a emissary and he became a scribe and he became a reporter of the early church. And so I don't know about you, friends, but when I read stories like this, when I read the book of Acts, I'm always looking for examples. I want very early examples of how those people listen to the Holy Spirit and what it means to let him lead me and guide me like he did Paul and his disciples. Anybody want that today? Say amen. And so you and the four of us will go on to point number one. It says, first of all, that he can be a guard of security. The word is, it says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word. That word is kaluo, to forbid or to prevent or to hinder. And so it's that word to guard is almost like he's guarding the path, like he's keeping us, like a shepherd keeps the sheep down the wrong path. There's a great Old Testament word, which is where I got the title of the message, by the way, The Invisible Hedge. I should have mentioned that in my introduction. But it comes from several places. One is in the book of Job. Do you remember when all of the angels come before God and God says, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says to him, you know why he praises you? Because you've put a hedge around him and all of his stuff, and you've hedged him about. I always thought that was a funny word, hedge. Does anybody else think that that's curious? It means that. It means to be intertwined in Hebrew. So it's like a thick hedge that's protection. But it always just sounded like the most bizarre thing that Satan, who can overpower and who can tempt and who can do so much terrible things in the world, but when he runs across shrubbery, he doesn't know what to do with it. One of my favorite books I've discovered just searching for it is written by a guy named Jeff Tuck. And the title of the book is The Devil Allergic to Shrubbery? And I haven't read the whole book yet, but I bought it off of Amazon just for the title. I said, he deserved my money just for coming up with that title. Like, here he is, the great tempter, right? But when he comes, he's going, I'm going to come and get you. And just, oh no, there's bushes. I can get by anything, but not bushes. It's kind of, it's not wrong to translate it in the King James as a hedge, but it gives you the feeling, it's kind of a euphemism for something a lot stronger. Are you with me? That hedge is like a wall of protection, something that keeps an army from coming in, something that leads and guides and puts boundaries about us, that keeps us from going to the right, to the left, that thing that keeps us in our lane. And if we allow him to, he will lead us and guide us. Friends, I've found it's not like a visible hedge that you can see with your own eyes. I wish it was. I wish it was like these walls that we see around us, but it's not. If I'm not paying attention to it, I'll just run right past it. The Bible says in Hosea, which is a very early prophetic passage, he talks about, he uses that word hedge, and actually NIV translates it as hedge. When Hosea has this vision and a metaphor of what it's like to be the God of Israel. And so Hosea is this tragic, very painful prophecy. And he said, imagine what it would be like to have a wife who was a harlot, who was running all around town, and you're being faithful to her, and you don't know where she's going. And he says, the point of the whole wasn't about Hosea's wife. It was God saying very early on in the prophetic books, this is what it feels like to be married to Israel. This is what it feels like to be the God of Israel. I feel like a husband that's married to a harlot, that's running all around. And in one of the verses, he says, therefore, I will hedge up your ways with thorns. He's speaking of this adulterous wife. And wall her in so that she cannot find her paths. She will chase her lovers, but not overtake them. Yes, she will seek them, but not find them. And so there is this idea of God just leading and guiding, almost like when you take your kids bowling and they put the bumpers in the gutters, just to keep you down the center of the lane. So sometimes the Holy Spirit is the one that inspires me to go here or to go there. Sometimes it's the Holy Spirit is the one that inspires me to stay right in the middle of where I'm supposed to be and not go wandering off. And I found that changes over time. It's not the same thing every time. Sometimes I get down to a certain point, and I need the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me in the next season. Anybody with me so far? Say amen. In every season, I took Shane to Honduras several years back. He was 12. And we went off. Jesus, my friend Jesus DePaz, said, we need to go to this place called Awas. He says, where is it? It says in La Mosquitia. I said, I don't know where that is. It's the Mosquito Coast of Honduras. It's way off in the east in the jungles. There's no road that gets there. And so we had to take a small plane and then get out of that into a smaller plane, land on a mud puddle filled dirt highway. And then we didn't even know how we were getting any place there. We got off and there's some guy his name was actually Shane. Anyway, he came and brought us in his pickup truck. That was the taxi. We rode in the back of the pickup truck over and found a guy that had a boat. Gave him some money for gas, and he put us in this boat 45 minutes over the lake and then down through this narrow little tunnel. And when the canal, it was like the Jungle Cruise ride. When the canal got done, we got out of that, and because the mud was too high, and we walked in knee-deep mud. For Shane, it was waist-deep. But we walked for another half a mile and then got in the back of another pickup truck and went to this little town that was built on stilts. And we walked there, and we walked through this town, and I said, who are we looking for, Jesus? He says, I don't know yet. He goes, I just came here to explore, see if anybody wants to go to the Pastor's Training Institute. And he walks up, and we walk by a house, and there's a guy who's sitting there building a fire in his yard. And Jesus goes up and meets him, and he says, yeah, this is the pastor of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and he's been praying for somebody to come and train some people to be pastors in this area. And I said, man, I need to travel with this guy more often. But all along the path, we even had people that said, which made me wonder, we had breakfast with the local pastor, and he says, don't go there. It's very dangerous. And I just said, you know, Lord, I'm going to trust you. If you're calling us to go there, I know we're going to be okay. And we were. We spent the night there. There were little geckos eating the bugs and the spiders. Okay, the story's getting too long. Oh, can I tell you the last part of the story? My favorite part about... Two favorite parts about staying in La Mosquitia. About 5 o'clock in the morning, the monkeys start screaming. I got woken up to, roosters are loud? You should hear, just screaming at the top of their lungs. But that night, because the power goes off at 9 o'clock in Awas, and before that, thank goodness we found one channel on this little TV in this Fleabag hotel, and it had Empire Strikes Back on. Even better, Empire Strikes Back in Spanish. And you haven't watched it until you get to that scene and Darth Vader goes, "Luke, está tu destino." I said, "That's it. I've seen it all. It's the only way I'm going to watch it from now on." But we would have missed all of that if we just hadn't been guided and hadn't been listening. Friends, I'm convinced if we hear his voice, not only can he show us what the right path is, but he can also warn us of danger. How many has the Lord ever warned you of danger? Going someplace or doing something and he just says, don't do that. How many know that if you stop listening to it, remember I talked about that development of a calloused heart? If you stop listening and you ignore him, eventually you'll just stop even hearing the voice at all. But if you could listen, I know this sounds a little crazy. Please don't go buy one of those signs and put it in the back of your car window that says guided by voices. We don't want people to think we're crazy, but I'm not talking about crazy. I'm talking about being a follower of the Lord. And so in Matthew chapter 2, the Bible tells us the story of Joseph, Jesus' father. And he went down to Egypt and he was warned of a dream not to go back to the land of Herod. And then it says, having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And so that's how Jesus ended up growing up in that place. But the story all along is telling us, if we have a heart to listen, the Lord can even warn us of places not to go. Amen. One of the first times I remember, I was in high school, and I was just starting to learn about the Holy Spirit, how he warns us and how to be sensitive to it. And I rode my bike to the library because I had to check out a book. Kids, okay, a library is a place where you used to have to go before the internet and they had books there. And a book is like a website made out of paper. It was really cool. You had to physically go there. You couldn't just do it like this. Anyway, I parked my bike. It wasn't a fancy bike. Someone had given it to me. But it was my only bike. It was my only mode of transportation. I didn't own a car at that time. And I went and put it in the bike rack, and I went to go put my chain on and realized I forgot my lock. I still had the chain, but not the lock. And I just thought to myself, you know what? How close is somebody really going to look? I'm only going to be in there 10 minutes. So I don't jump ahead to the punchline, like you know what's going to happen. But I wrapped the chain around there, you know, making it look like it was all locked up. And on the way up the steps, I honestly felt like the Lord said, "Mike, don't leave that bike." And I said, "Don't worry about it, Lord. It's only going to be 10 minutes. I'll be right back. I hear you. I'll be fast." That's what I heard him say. That's not what he said. What he said was, "Don't leave that bike." But what I heard was, "Just hurry." And I went in. You guys know the end of the story. I came back out. That bike was gone. It was no place. I looked up and down. It was no place. And I felt so bad. I just told myself, this is one of my early lessons. I said, "Lord," I said, "all right, if I'm going to lose my bike, I don't want to lose the lesson. If you ever talk to me like that again, I'm going to listen." Friends, one of the worst things you can do is tell the Lord not to warn you of stuff. Or worse yet, if he warns you about it, ignore him. I think listening to the Holy Spirit is something we train ourselves in. I think it's something that we can be naturally gifted in, but I think it's something that we can practice in our life. And one of the ways that you practice being more sensitive is when he tells you something, listen. Anybody say amen? The second thing is he is a guide of safety, which is probably just a parallelism. But he says they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. He would not allow them to. In other words, they said, "Lord, we really want to go up through Bithynia over the land route." And the Lord said, "No." Has the Lord ever told you no before? How many love being told no? Anybody? Do your kids love being told no? Nobody wants to be told no. But friends, that is one of the most important answers, just as well as yes is, for us to be able to hear the no's. Sometimes the answer to a prayer will be a closed door. Don't you remember that Garth Brooks song? I'm not even a country fan, but my brother was, so I heard this song over and over. It talked about a girl that he was in love with when he was young, and then it didn't work out, and he prayed and prayed, and it never worked out, and then he got married to another woman and was so happy, and then he ran into her at the county fair. You remember what the chorus was? Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. I don't know what that means, but some of God's greatest gifts. We think, Lord, I've been praying. And why haven't you answered? It ever occurred to you? And this isn't always, but sometimes he did answer. He said no. Or he said not yet. Or he said not this time. And he was leading and guiding. But we have to have a heart to listen to him. Do you know the story of Balaam and his donkey? One of my favorites out of the Old Testament. Even when I was a kid, I loved Balaam and his donkey. It happens in the midst of a bunch of, I think, very old northern stories about this prophet named Balaam, who was hired to go and curse Israel. And have you ever noticed, it's kind of curious, at one verse, God says, all right, if you want to go, go. And then the next verse, the angel of the Lord shows up to kill him. Well, I think it shifts. It's a southern story, the angel of the Lord. But so Balaam's riding his donkey to go down there and do his job and curse Israel. And the angel of the Lord, it's like this mysterious character that shows up in the southern tales with his sword drawn. And we don't know, okay, it's kind of ambiguous. Is it an angel or is it the Lord? It could be either. But he's there with a sword, and he doesn't see it. Some people think that means that Balaam was blind. He wasn't blind, he was just spiritually blind. But his donkey wasn't. And so his donkey runs off in the field, and Balaam beats on this donkey and tells him to get back up on the road. The second time, he sees the angel of the Lord again, so he presses him up against this wall, and Balaam gets off, and he beats on it again. And the third time, he's there, and there's no place to go, right or left. And so he just gets down on his knees and buckles down because he's trying to save his life. And Balaam beats him again, and the Lord opens the mouth of the donkey. Only two places where animals talk in the Bible. One is the snake in the garden, the other is Balaam's donkey. And he says to me, why do you keep beating me like this? He says, don't you see the angel in the path? He goes, have I ever disobeyed you in the past? Then why would you keep beating me down like this? And then the angel of the Lord speaks to Balaam. And he says to him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. Sometimes the Lord is on our side. Sometimes he's against us because we're going the wrong way. We're not going in a healthy path. And because he loves us, he will come and stop us, and hopefully not with a sword. But friends, if you've got a good donkey that knows how to listen to the Holy Spirit, stop beating him. He's there for your sake. He will help you. You have to be sensitive. You can't just keep beating it. You can't just keep abusing that poor animal. That part of you that listens to the Holy Spirit is your best friend. And it could save your life. Save your life. Oh, man, you want to hear a true missionary story? I love them. Years ago, one of Lewis's, Molly, remember, was it cousins? Or his name was Jack Anderson. He was 73, which, I gotta tell you, in my younger years, that seemed really old, but it doesn't seem so old to me as much anymore. But he was an old 73. He came and they said he's visiting. He was a missionary down in Central America and, South America. And he was going to come and preach. And then he got there and I'm like, is he even going to be able to stand up there? And he had we helped him and he was all frail like this. And he barely made it up the steps. Then he grabbed a hold of this pulpit like this and just started preaching at us. And I was like, wow, this guy's he's been around. And he was telling us stories about how when you come up on a tribe that doesn't know Jesus, first you got to sneak up softly. And then when you smell their smoke, you get down on your knees. And then when you hear their voices, you get down on your belly and you crawl. And then when you can see their hut, you run into the hut really quick and you grab the spear so they can't kill you. So that's a missionary, man. That's preaching the gospel. He says one story. He says, I was on my horse and I was traveling through the jungle. And I was on my way to this church I was supposed to be preaching at, and this horse just wouldn't go. It just stopped. He says, I'm not going, not one step further. It was just like Balaam's donkey. And he says, I'm not. He just went down, and he got tired of arguing with this horse. So he just turned around, and he went back to his home. And then he said, we'll just try in the morning. Maybe he's just tired. The next morning, they went back, and on that same path, he looked right to the right where that horse had been hesitant, and there was a beaten down spot where a tiger had been sleeping the night before. That horse had saved him from a tiger. And then he went home on furlough. He was back in L.A., down by Life Bible College, where the little furlough homes were that they put the missionaries there, right by Echo Park. And he went to a prayer meeting. You know, he was getting his hair cut. And while he was at the barber, he was talking to the barber, and he told him his name is Jack Anderson. And the man next to him says, are you Jack Anderson? He said, yes. He goes, you're Jack Anderson, the missionary? He said, yeah, you're Jack Anderson, the missionary to South America. He says, yes. He goes, man, I've been praying for you. He said, why would you be praying for me? He says, because I'm a part of the prayer team. We go up into the prayer tower, and we look through the missionary magazines, and we pick out a missionary, and we pray for him. And you're the one I've been praying for. And just about a month ago, the Holy Spirit told me, you need to pray for this man because there's a tiger about ready to eat him. And that was that tiger that saved him. I don't know if you believe stories like that. I think the reason we don't see more stuff like that here in the United States is because we're not missionaries. Most of us don't have tigers waiting around the corner. When you're off in places like that, you need to listen all the time. You need to be aware. But friends, I'm so convinced God can guard us like that, just like he did with Pastor Jack. You believe that? He is a God that cares about us. And so we need to always be listening. The Spirit of Jesus can lead us at every turn in the road, every turn. And so, you know, Paul mentions Troas a little while later in 2 Corinthians, which because of that, we think that Paul wrote the second letter to the Corinthians just shortly after this missionary journey. Because he tells the Corinthians, who are over kind of in near Greece, he tells them, now when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, and we know from Luke's story, that's where Luke met him, it says, and he found that the Lord had opened a door for me. Listen to this phrase, it blows me away. That the Lord had opened a door for me, but I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. That's the third question I have when I get to heaven for Paul, is I said, wait a second, is this a contradiction? He just said the Lord had opened up a door, but he had no peace in his heart. So not only was the Apostle Paul highly attuned to when the Lord opens a door, when he closes the door, but even when the door opens, before he walks through the door, he asks again, Lord, am I still released to do this? Because sometimes, friends, God will give you a word from A to B, but you don't get the word from B to C until you get to B. Did that make sense? I think I said it right. You know where I learned that from? Years ago, I was on a Navy frigate. I was invited by a friend in our church whose name was Elroy. He was a river pilot. And I think I've told you about sitting in the captain's chair before, but I was so impressed. Elroy was a new believer, and it was back in the days of Promise Keepers where the guys would go to these men's retreats. And we were on there, and I was so impressed because we got up there, and the bridge of this Navy frigate was jam-packed with sailors and the guy that was steering it. But the river pilot, the Columbia River pilot, is in charge of that ship even though it belongs to the Navy. So the captain has to say to the pilot, would it be okay if I allowed my crew to steer? And Elroy, my host, I'm Pastor Mike to everybody, but he says, my host, he goes, yeah, sure, go ahead. I'll just give him instructions from here. And so we were out on the little side platform just talking about the Lord and talking about Promise Keepers. And every once in a while, Elroy would just go, when you get up around that pine tree, make your course 110 and slow down to so-and-so knots. And then he starts talking to me again. I said, how did you know that? He showed me that morning that river pilots have to study the charts all the time, and they have to keep doing resurveys because the sandbars shift in the river. But that's a river pilot for you. That's why they're the only ones that get to steer all the ships through the Columbia River, because they know where the river is going. And friends, you don't get to see that next waypoint until you get up around the corner. Sometimes we think, well, I had a word from the Lord a couple weeks ago. I'm just going to keep barging right through. And when's the last time you stopped and checked in? Lord, is this still it? You told me to go from A to B, but where do I go from B? And just have that sensitive heart. Are you with me? Crazy. I have questions about this. The Lord, it doesn't say the devil opened the door. It says the Lord opened the door, but I had no peace. And so there was constantly the Holy Spirit. He was checking in with the Holy Spirit to make sure he was still on the right course. Anybody with me today? Am I just preaching to the lights out there? All right. The last thing is he gives us a vision of success. So the last revelation that Paul got, we don't know what the other ones were. We know in this one that he had a vision in the night. He had a dream. Now, I've never taken this away to think that every dream I have is a dream or a vision from the Lord. But God, he has spoken to me in the night before. But most of the time, it's just too much pizza late at night and there's weird dreams I got to just forget about. But this one was a vision from the Lord. And he had a vision of a man from Macedonia. I don't know if you remember on the map, Macedonia was up there in Europe. So this would have been, listen, the first time the gospel was taken to the continent of Europe. And this man says, come over here. Come up here and help us. And when God gives you a vision, friends, whatever else you end out, when God is the source of the vision, you can trust and have nothing to fear because he'll be on your side. Anybody say amen? There's another place in Acts where it says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. And he gave him a vision. And so what I love about this story is all in just a period of a few verses, is not only does it show us how the Holy Spirit can close some doors, but it also shows us then now how he opens another door. And so he shut down this door and he shut down this door. And then he said, this is the way I want you to go. I just love that. Friends, I'm so hungry for this. I know I've been, my whole life, I've been trying to listen to the Lord. But when I read these stories again, I said, Lord, I don't even know if I know how to do it. It's so amazing. I want you to lead me and guide me like that. Lord, I want you to give me the vision so strong that nothing on this planet can change it. And friends, that does not mean we stop listening to good advice by other Holy Spirit believers. Oh man, that should probably be a whole side conversation, right? How we hear from the Lord and then we stop listening. I'm not talking about just when we think we've heard from the Lord, but once the Lord gives you a vision, you can trust. Because it's only through putting his vision in the hearts of his children, of his sons and his daughters, that the world gets changed and that things actually begin to go in the right direction. I can't remember when the last time I showed this clip, but when I thought of this, I always think of the scene from the movie The Messenger. Do you ever see it? It's about Joan of Arc, who was one of the great heroes and martyrs in France. And if you don't know her whole story, the biography, some consider her a saint, because part of her deal was she got visions. And as this young girl ended up being a leader of France and delivering France. But this is her. At one point in this story, they pull her up in front of a tribunal of all of the religious leaders, who are supposed to be the men of God that hear from God and that get visions. And they're struggling with the fact that this little peasant girl is the one that's getting all the visions. And so here is them holding her to the task. Watch this for a minute.
What exactly was this vision wearing?
I don't remember.
This vision, did it give you anything? An object, a ring or a rosary, anything by which we can verify your claim?
He gave me good advice.
During your childhood, do you have any sort of military experience?
No.
Are you practiced in the skills of swordsmanship?
No. But I'm good with a stick.
Do you know what a Dijon culverin is?
No.
It's an item of artillery. How can you expect to raise the siege of Orléans if you're ignorant about modern artillery?
The road to Orléans is long. And I have good captains with me. I will learn fast, believe me.
We would like to believe you, Jean. But we feel that if God wanted us to believe you, He would have sent a sign with you. So, can you do something? Show us something? A sign to prove that you are sent by God.
I did not come here to perform tricks. You are all much cleverer than I am. I don't know A from B, but this much I do know. That while the people of France lie bleeding, you sit around in your fine clothes trying to deceive me, when you're only deceiving yourselves. You say you're men of God, yet you do not see his hand in having guided me through 500 leagues of enemy country to bring you his help. Is that not proof enough? Do you still need more signs? Give me an army. Take me to Orléans. There you will see the sign that I was sent to make.
She ended up being a great hero, and this story is amazing. Just once, when I play that clip back, I wish that when that guy says, "And what was this vision wearing?" I wanted to say, "Khakis?" You remember that commercial? Anyway, friends, I'm convinced if you're waiting for a sign, if you're waiting from some cloud to part and this big, giant, booming voice like on a movie, or waiting for the waters to part, you might be waiting a long time. We need his guidance on a regular basis, and we need to have a sensitive heart. We need young men and women and old men and women that know how to listen to his voice, the genuine voice of the Lord. And sometimes it means that he opens a door, but sometimes before he opens the door, he's got to close a door. And both are very important. How many are with me so far? You following me? The Bible says in Revelation... skipped it too fast. The Bible says in Revelation 3:7, it says, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the keys of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open." I love that. I want him to do that with my life. I got a true story today to tell you. Oh, who could use a true story today? And all my stories are true. Last September, and this is a really, it's like five stories in one, so I'm really going to edit it down. You remember a couple of years ago, we got stranded in Colombia. We went down. My friend Aaron, who is the head of Foursquare Missions and set in the Americas, asked us to go build a church in Colombia, and then the cartels blockaded us, and we were able to leave the money and stuff like that. But we saw him at convention, and the church got built, and it was all a success, but... it was, you know, we were really having to trust in the security of the Lord. And so then fast forward, and we're at convention last year, and Molly goes up and she gives him stink eye. She's like, "You know, why'd you invite my husband and my boys down there and then abandon him?" He goes, "What are you doing in September?" She goes, "Why?" Because we've got a retreat in Cancun. I said, "Well, okay." And what it is it's a retreat for all the missionaries, all the missionary workers in the Americas. So Central America, South America, all the Foursquare missionaries, there's about 65. And they have a retreat every year to just bless them. There's preaching, there's teaching, there's spiritual investment, but there's also a lot, they invite their kids to come. And so they can just have a break and spend some time on the beach and just be a family together. And they had, you know, we had worship and music and teaching and played some games, had a talent show. It was just kind of a fun time. And Molly and I were supposed to be the last speakers. And that afternoon, she got sick. And so I got there that night, and I told the hosts, I said, "Molly can't come tonight." And they said, "Oh, we'll have somebody else preach in her place." And they had one of the area missionaries, this old venerable guy that had such great stories and full of the Holy Spirit. And they had worship, and then he got up and preached for like an hour. And it was amazing. It was just, everybody was so encouraged. And then they prayed, and then they sat down. And then they said, all right, we have another preacher tonight. I'm like, oh my goodness. So if you've ever been a speaker, you know, this is the worst possible environment. It's like 8:30 at night. People are tired. They've already had great preaching. And now, and he says, and here's Mike and Molly from, where are you from? From Columbia? I said, yeah, Columbia, close enough. And then he sat the mic down and walked off. And I went up there kind of like, hello, hi, I'm Mike. I said, it's the worst introduction I've ever gotten in all of my years of ministry. The coldest open, the worst environment. I got up there and all of the air had been completely sucked out of the room. And I got up there and the first thing that I said was, well, actually, Molly's sick and she can't be here. And they all went, oh. So my whole presentation started off as a huge disappointment. And I just thought, what? I'm looking at these people. You got to know, I had spent a week preparing in my head. I had such great spiritual insight and investment in these missionaries and encouragement and words from the Lord and things that would have really encouraged them. And I looked down at their eyes, glazed over as they were, ready to just go have some snacks. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and just said, don't say any of that. I chucked all of it. And I said, you know what? You guys have heard a lot of great preaching, and I can't do any better than any of that. But I'm looking at your eyes, and it looks to me like you just need to laugh a little bit. Like, you know, and they all kind of nodded, and I just commenced to telling stories. Missionary stories, funny stories. I told them about how I got led to the Lord by a clown. I told them about how I got the nickname Miguelito when the guy would pick me up from the mission house when I was a little kid. I just went on and on and on. I didn't think I was being funny. I was just kind of, you know, trying to keep it light. And then I knew we were going to have ministry time, so I just did that. And at the end, we had ministry time where they all got up and we all prayed for each other, and it was great. It was the perfect way to end it, right? Just nice and light. And afterwards, I just felt like, man, I dropped the ball. Said I had all this stuff I was supposed to tell these missionaries, and I didn't say any of it. I was pretty sure I did the right thing, but I told Molly, I said, I feel like I just kind of squandered it, and anyway. Sometimes you just got to give it to the Lord. And fast forward afterwards, by the way, my district supervisor is there, and he says, Mike, when you got up there and started talking, he goes, I didn't realize how much I needed to laugh. And he goes, that was probably the best ministry that those people needed for the whole week. And I said, yeah, okay, fine. I had other stuff, though, but anyway. And so here I'm preaching. I'm studying on Friday, and I'm reading this story about how the Lord shut the door twice on the Apostle Paul, and then he opened up a door to some man that says, come over here to Macedonia, we need your help. And I got a call, my old buddy Aaron, saying, great, I hope it's not Columbia again. But he says, actually, Mike, you remember that guy that hosted the pastor's retreat last year? You know, the guy that gave me the horrible introduction, who knew my sister in Bible college? Anyway, I've forgiven him. I said, yeah. He said, he just called me and told me he can't do it. So he goes, and all I could think of is, I wonder if you and your church would host this event for all the missionaries in Foursquare in Latin America. And I said, let me pray about it, which means let me go talk to Molly about it and make sure. But I called him back in the morning, and what do you think I said? He said, and the reason we thought it would be great for you to do it is because we knew that you and Molly would make it fun. Is he wrong? So I said, absolutely. So guess what we're doing? I don't know, some of you, we're going to take a team. You think we could sponsor something like that? You know, all the money we've ever given to missions, how'd you like to give towards missions where it's actually going to give all the missionaries in Latin America a break and minister to them for a whole week? And our little church gets to be a part of it, because sometimes God shuts down doors and sometimes he opens them up. And it's so important for us to know which one is which. And so if we're just faithful, friends, I believe he does it in all of our lives if we allow him to, if we keep listening, and if we don't just shut down our hearts to his direction. You believe that? Can I pray for you today? Lord Jesus, I just pray all over this place. I know that, Lord, not all of us are called to be missionaries, but you've given every single man, woman, and child in this place a mission. We all have a mission. We all have something that we're called to. And Lord, as much as it's hard to, sometimes, Lord, you call us to say no to really good ideas in order to say yes to something that's the best. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd lead us and guide us. Speak to us today. We open up our hearts to you. We want to be led of you in the big things and the little things, because I know it's in the little things that we learn how to be faithful with much. And so teach us, Lord God. Help us to have ears to hear. And friends, while nobody's looking around, just for a moment of privacy, if you're here in this place and you know one of the things you need is just a relationship with the Lord like that. You see, I want to hear his voice. I want him to speak with me. He's not far away. All you have to do is open up your heart. If that's you today and you just want to invite the Lord to come in and to lead you and guide you and to be the Lord of your life, would you just look up at me for a moment? Is there anybody like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, friends, if you're able to, would you stand to your feet with me today and grab somebody's hand and just join me and invite him in. Can we do that? Say this with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart today. Be my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lead me and guide me. Close the wrong doors and open up the right doors. And I'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering today. Just praise him with you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for coming. Lord bless you. Have a great day.